Our first candidate is Ken Van Doren, a retired contractor and a former Mauston City Council member. He is a candidate for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Joy?
I'm well, thank you. So why are you running for Congress?
Well, take a look at the country. It's falling apart. I took a look at things. I was forced by reality, life's experiences, and a little bit of reading to reform my political philosophy here about half my life ago. And back then, I realized that if we kept on the track we were on, we would destroy the economy, and we could be in danger of becoming a police state. And I look at circumstances today, and I ask, are we there yet?
So what's wrong with the job Congressman Ron Kind is doing?
Well, you know, he pretends to be this moderate, but take a look. $12.5 trillion in debt was added during his reign, and if he had his way, it would have been more, because he's a big spender by anybody's standard. He voted along with too many Republicans to give us things like the Patriot Act, which virtually destroyed the Fourth Amendment, the Military Commissions Act, which delegates to the president the unconstitutional authority to say that anyone is an enemy combatant and deprive them of their civil rights, their power, the right to hire an attorney, to confront their accusers, to present evidence on their behalf. And he voted for... these are the trappings of tyranny here, all of these different pieces of legislation. You know, today we have NSA spying, which Mr. Kind refuses to do anything about, and we have a president who thinks that we can use the office of president and the bureaucracy as a political weapon. This is frightening stuff, and it should be frightening even for Democrats.
Well, what do you think is the biggest problem facing the nation, particularly for people in the 3rd District?
Well, I see virtually everything is coming down to the fact that we're losing our freedom. You know, with freedom comes opportunity. We have a government that takes too much in taxes that leaves us with less to save, spend, and invest and create the jobs and create the wealth in the private sector, which is the only place that it can be. The other big thing, Mr. Kind also voted in favor of all of these wars, and again, a lot of Republicans, most Republicans, did as well. But we have a series of never-ending no-win wars. And let's just take Afghanistan as an example. We lost a 2-star general over there. But I ask, how big is the Navy? How big is the Air Force of Afghanistan? And do they have ICBMs? There's really no military threat to us at all. And yet we're still over there. Now, Al-Qaeda, that's an international organization. That's something different. But we chased them out of Afghanistan and into Iraq, which is falling apart again in large part because of our intervention there.
So what's your reaction to President Obama last night authorizing the use of force or limited military strikes in Iraq against ISIS?
Okay, we armed and trained ISIS. We armed and trained Osama bin Laden. This is just going to be another in a series of failed interventions. And let's take a look. Both John McCain and the president want to give aid to the rebels in Syria. Now, that doesn't make Assad a good guy, and believe me, Gaddafi was not a good guy either. But these rebel forces, they're burning churches, they're burning synagogues and the people in them, they're torturing people. If anything, they're going to be worse than Assad. And ISIS appears to have come right out of Syria. And again, this is a product of our failed interventions. We got to mind our own business. You know, let's implement the policy of Thomas Jefferson: peace, commerce, honest friendship with all nations, and tangling alliances with none. All we're doing is creating enemies all across the world and bankrupting this country. The Middle East wars, according to a Harvard study recently, are going to cost us $4 to $6 trillion by the time we patch up those troops who were injured there. And pay off some of our debt, which apparently is never going to happen.
It was reported in the La Crosse Tribune that a blogger posted a memo from your campaign that said you plan to attack your opponent in the primary, Tony Kurtz, as a warmonger. Why is Kurtz, an Army veteran, a warmonger?
Well, at a debate on April 7th, he said, we need to be in Afghanistan to contain the Taliban. Contain means fight. Fight means war. And he also advocates this policy of having some 900 bases around the world in some 140 countries. We cannot afford that. It's bankrupting us just as surely as the welfare state is. And by having that posture, I do consider him a warmonger. Oh, by the way, I want to thank Nick Nelson for putting that out there on the Morning Martini, because I think he did a lot to bolster my campaign.
Yeah, talk more about that. Why do you say that?
Why do I say that? Because each and every talking point that I was suggesting to people who were, I thought, friendly to me, it stands on its own. I think Mr. Kurtz is ill-prepared to assume this office because he doesn't have the wide range of knowledge on a number of issues that I have, as witnessed by the fact that his handlers kept him out of a Wisconsin public radio debate here. I think it was last week. If they'd have felt confident that he could have done well, I'm sure he would have been there.
You told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that you were brought up with democratic values. So what made you a Republican?
Like I said before, life's experiences, a little bit of reading, and some very patient friends. When I graduated college, I still thought that the government was the answer. When I went into business for myself, my political attitudes swiftly changed, because I soon realized that the bureaucrats in Madison and Washington, D.C. really didn't care whether I succeeded or failed. And again, I started taking a look at one government policy after another, and I saw failure. The more we intervene, the higher the prices of things are. Right now we have a situation where direct and indirect taxes, fees, licenses are about 40% of our economy, and then there's another 15% or so that is in the form of the costs of regulations. Now, do we need regulations? Well, sure. But I prefer that the government be an impartial referee on the sidelines rather than an active participant in the economy, because, a lot of times their economic stimuli are more for political than for economic purposes. Solyndra is one example, and you might use Halliburton as a Republican example on the other side of the aisle.
Let's take a call from Jim in River Falls. Hello, Jim. What's your question?
Good morning. Thanks for having this program. I had a question on the candidate's views on the Trans-Pacific Agreement. I've actually contacted Ron Kind about it. He is in support of it because he thinks it's going to help the economy, and basically it's a trade agreement between the U.S. and Pacific nations, which would be similar to NAFTA, open up trade, and
All right. So
it creates autonomous zones basically within the countries that subscribe to it, allowing those nations to set up their own laws, and they don't have to follow regulations of countries that they move into, as far as wages and things like that as well. So just like to have the candidate's opinion of the Trans-Pacific Agreement, if he's thought about it much.
Yes, I have. I issued a press release here, I believe it was back in January or February, when Vernon County passed a resolution opposing TPP. And I applauded them for that, not because I oppose free trade, but because I support free trade. The TPP, NAFTA, and a whole bunch of other things, they're bad because they give favored status to certain nations and to certain corporations, mostly large international ones. Plus, there's a whole bunch of direct and indirect subsidies that are part of the package. The Export-Import Bank only benefits, some people call it the Bank of Boeing, for example. And, of course, Boeing used some of their economic wherewithal to build plants in China. Plus, the big thing is these trade agreements tend to delegate authority that belongs with the Congress to the World Trade Organization. It's not free trade, and it's not going to be good for jobs. I think it was Ross Perot warned about NAFTA, the TPP is going to be, if anything, worse. The other thing is it's being negotiated in secret by the very corporations who stand to benefit. I don't see much benefit there. And as long as we're on that, there's a series of things. The wars, TPP, crony capitalism, corporate welfare, and I call it the bankster bailout, the TARP program, all of which I've opposed, all of which people in the middle and a few Democrats would agree with Ken Van Dorn on, and not with any other candidate, including Ron Kind.
One last question for you, a personal question. The bio on your website says you make the best home brew ever. What do you call it, and what's your secret?
Well, my staffer, usually when you think of brew, you think of beer. I've made very little beer, and my staffer maybe misunderstood when that was written, but I make quite a bit of wine.
Oh.
And, there's a saying out there, serve no time before it's wine or something like that. But, patience is the thing with wine, and, of course, cleanliness. Those are the two things. Make sure everything is absolutely clean, or you might make the best batch of vinegar you've ever had. And most of the wine I serve is not any less than a year old. So those are the secrets.
Cheers, and thanks for being with us.
All right, thank you.
Ken Van Dorn, retired building contractor, former Mauston City Council member, candidate for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District.